listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good,
Dean
Johnson.
The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, and streaming live on Ustream, this is AfterBuzz TV for the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest Real Housewives news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, picking up where the show leaves off, and the buzz continues, it's AfterBuzz TV for the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Hello, everyone. Mari Fagel in studio. And I had to come out to Los Angeles near Beverly Hills for our final after show. I had to be in studio. I mean, come on. And I have Jackie and Pamela, my two favorite co-hosts, Jackie Moran, Pamela Packerman, on the phone in New York. Are you guys so sad? Can you believe it? This is our final Roby after show for season two.
I can't believe it. I mean, I was waiting for, like, part four, part five. I feel like this was a season that never ends, and now here it is, actually is ending, and I have to say, I'm pretty sad.
What a train wreck of a season. I'm definitely sad to see it end from a few points, but happy that there's some resolutions, which I know we're going to get into, but it is a bittersweet ending in many ways.
And it's a bittersweet ending because I don't know who's going to be back for season three. We all don't know yet. And I don't know. Between Taylor and Kim and the train wrecks this season, I don't think either of them are going to be back. We'll get into it. Taylor and Kim seem to be, I mean, like the main topics of this final reunion. Let's just get right into it and talk about Taylor. I want to hear your opinions of her. I don't know if you guys have been watching the round of media interviews that that she's been doing, and we'll talk a little bit about it in news and gossip. I have to agree with Brandy here. Brandy says in the reunion, she says, "I'm creeped out talking about someone who can't defend himself." And as a listener, I'm creeped out listening about these stories and allegations about someone who can't defend himself. And more than that, I'm creeped out listening to these stories where it's like, if they aren't true, that's terrible. If they are true, it's terrible. It's a lose-lose situation. You have a daughter here, and why does she need to know these stories? And, you know, in some of these interviews that she did when she talks about her daughter, and I know we'll talk about it in news and gossip, it's just I don't think it's appropriate. And I find a lot of it hard to believe. That's what I wrote in my notes, was hard to believe. The stories about the lie detector, like he had her take a lie detector test. He recorded her with recording devices. He wasn't schizophrenic. I mean, he didn't have paranoia. So I find that somewhat hard to believe. And again, if it is true, he's not there to defend himself. What I really found hard to believe was this story that she told about how she was over her friend's house and she thought he had left and he hid in the bushes. And her friend said, "We're concerned about you. If you need help, let us know." And she said, "Oh, just take care of Kennedy if anything happens." And then he jumps out the bushes. He hits the friend. He pushes her into the pool and nearly drowns her. And yet no charges were pressed. We never once heard about this story until she's telling it now. And she claims it's because she told her friends not to press charges. What kind of effed up friends would those be to not press charges when she's saying, "Oh, don't press charges because I don't know what would happen to me and Kennedy"? I find that so hard to believe that any friend in their right mind would have that happen and not press charges. So I don't know what to believe here, but like I said, even if these stories are true, that's still terrible because he's not here to defend himself. And why are you dragging his name even further down into the mud? I mean, we already think of Russell as a villain. Like, I just don't think that we needed these stories in this detail, and I understand how some of her stories are helping women of domestic violence, but when she gets into this detail, I don't think it's helping anyone. I really don't. So Jackie and then Pamela, what do you guys think about Taylor?
Well, Mari, as many episodes as there have been and as many after shows, I feel like on this last after show, I'm going to make my last stand as to why Taylor should not be a television character, especially a reality television character, because of this. He's sitting here talking about someone who's not there to defend himself, someone who seems very tragic. She also seems very tragic. I don't know what to believe. I don't know what her motives are. Everything about Taylor, I can't feel guilty for her only because I don't buy her. I don't buy this poor me. I just couldn't get out of it. I loved him. I don't doubt that he was tragic. I don't doubt that he was insane. I don't doubt that he did crazy things. I don't doubt that he lived a double life and that people are suing. I don't doubt any of that. But I doubt her. I doubt her as somebody I want to connect to on this and feel bad for. And I doubt the fact that she sits there and talks about it because I think she enjoys sitting there and talking about it, and not in a therapeutic way, in a way like, ooh, people are going to feel bad for me. And, you know, there's just nothing I like about Taylor. And again, if I can make any plea, it is to get back to what we like about drama on The Real Housewives, and this is not it. And I do not think she should return for the next season. Absolutely. This solidified it for me, as did the many other episodes this season.
I definitely agree with you on many points, Jackie. I have a slightly softer take, and it's in the sense that I don't think that Taylor is lying, or rather, I don't want to believe that she's lying, because it's such intense accusations, whether he was alive or, you know, that he's deceased, unfortunately, or fortunately, maybe for her, I don't even know. I want to believe that everything she's saying is true. That being said, her saying that she's sort of putting this out there in order to speak to a larger audience, because of course she does have a platform, I think her methods have been so off that that's why we're questioning her. You know, and we're going to get into, you know, Kim and being an alcoholic and her methods of using that as her platform. But I'll just quickly say that later on in the episode, you know, Kim does say, you know, I'm an alcoholic and I'm here to discuss that. I'm not here to discuss, you know, my personal conflicts with my sister, right? She's making a distinction. I think that Taylor, if she really wants to connect with the unfortunately large audience of women, and I should say men and women, who are victims of domestic violence, she has to change her methods. And I think that's what's really I know, Jackie, you've been agitated all season long. That's been agitating her. So if she does remove herself from the show and genuinely uses the book and proceeds to not only support herself, because I know she has a huge lawsuit pending, but also to support various causes, there hopefully will be people who can believe her stories and want to sort of get on the bandwagon of her trying to help others. Because I think that she could potentially, if everything she's saying is true, help other women to see that this is wrong. This is so wrong. You can't live this life. There are places you can go to help. So maybe if she does that, you know, we'll be a little bit more empathetic to her.
I think sorry, go on, Jackie.
Sorry, Mari, but I think if she does do that, if she did do that, number one, I'd be so surprised, but I would admire that choice so much. I would do a special just to talk about that, but I have a feeling that if I know what she's about, she wouldn't do that, and that's exactly what makes me so annoyed about her.
The thing is, when you were talking about her, Pamela, you know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of Kim Kardashian and how Kim Kardashian has had a huge backlash against her since the divorce, mm-hmm. and that she needs to step out of the spotlight for a while, which she has been doing. She needs to continue to do it, and then maybe people will respect her more. And I think that's what's going on with Taylor. People have seen too much of her dark personal life, too much of her media blitz for the book, and if she steps away for a while, I think that people could tolerate her again. But right now, I think overall, just from what I've heard on Twitter, from talking to other fans of the show, people are sick of Taylor and people don't like her. And so she just needs to back off. And I know that she's doing this media blitz to promote her book to then make money for herself, because really only a portion of the proceeds actually go to domestic violence charities. I think she has a case with Kim Kardashian and she needs to lay off it. That's the only thing I could think that would save her there. I want to get off the Taylor topic only because we talked about it in Reunion Part 1. We talked about it in Reunion Part 3. Here we are talking about it again in Reunion... I'm sorry, Reunion Part 2 now. Here we are in Reunion Part 3. And, you know, we just all said we're sick of it. So let's move on to... I thought was one of my favorite characters, Jackie. I know you felt the same way. She was not at all in the last couple episodes. I was surprised she was even in the reunion at all, but she was brought in for one tiny, tiny little segment. And this is Dana. I mean, if I had to place bets on who is least likely to come back next season, it would be Dana, which is unfortunate because I thought that she was fun and funny and... you know, when Jesse and Jackie and I would host the show in the beginning of the season, we all thought she was a riot, from the $25,000 sunglasses to the $1 million lollipop necklace. She was a riot. And I thought she would be a riot in the reunion, but she kind of ended up just having to defend herself. The only funny part of her segment was when Kyle did that, like, dead-on impression of her. I do have to admit, Kyle is a good actress. She does good impressions. But I don't know. She had... to defend herself a lot. She had to defend herself with the game night and how she thought that that Brandy was out of line. She had to defend herself when she, you know, sucks up to the other women and she says, you know, I think that that's flattering. And, you know, she had to defend herself with all of her outlandish comments. And then she kind of went into this sob story. I wasn't so much buying. And she was like, oh, you know, I moved out of the house when I was 15 years old. My mom was poor. My dad was rich. I lived these double lives. Oh, I've made it on my own now. So, you know, who can blame me that I want to flaunt it because I've worked so hard. And, you know, all these ladies, you guys aren't humble either. And I don't know. I would have liked to have just seen the fun, light Dana. Like, yeah, just, she owned it, though. She said, so what I say these comments? You know, who cares? So I like that she didn't back down, but I thought it would be a little more fun and lighthearted than people attacking her for it. I don't know, Jackie, what did you think?
I have to say, Mari, you know I'm with you on this boat. I mean, when she sits down with her, she's like, I'm not going to say a word, but look at my shoes. And, like, you know, they said, F-U-C-K, you on it. I don't like to curse, so so funny. I mean, that's what we love about Dana. Love the Kyle impression. Those are moments where I love Kyle. I thought that was hysterical. She brings this breath of fresh air to this group in a different way than Brandy, and I like Dana's way of bringing it. It's like, even when she got dramatic and was defending herself, I was almost kind of even laughing at that, because there's just something about Dana that she's like kind of that girl that wants so bad to be popular, but you love it. It's so funny. And, you know, I like that she was like, yeah, I'll kiss all their, you know, I'll kiss up to them again. You know, she totally owned up to it. And so that made me like her even more. And so I totally agree. I do wish we had even more funny Dana moments, but I did like the montage. And I do feel very disappointed that, number one, that she was snappy with Brandy. I did not like that. And yeah. Number two, that I have a feeling Andy kind of gave her like the kiss of death at the end. He was pretty much like, thanks for being here. Yeah. We'll never see you again. That's almost what I got from it.
And I will say quickly, when she and Brandy were fighting, I thought it was hilarious when Brandy was like, Pam, watch it. Because as we all know, Pam was the name that Kim kept calling Dana. And she was like, you can call me Pam. You can call me anything. So I love that Brandy was like, Pam, watch it. That's why Brandy is going to stay on season 3 and Dana isn't. I love Dana. She's funny. She's funny, but maybe she just can't cut it. I don't know. Pamela, I've never heard your take on her.
I wouldn't rule her out. I think there's a possibility, maybe, especially if Taylor's not on the show anymore and, you know, we're not sure what, maybe Kim might be not back either. There might be room for her. I mean, she's a quirky character. She's so... I don't know if I want to categorize her as new money, but she definitely acts like it. I love when she mentioned the shoes. She said again, with the diamonds in the FU. I don't know if anybody else caught that, but that was so classic.
Yes. Love
that. And she just... the diamonds. She's just awkward. That's all I could think. But very funny. I have to comment, just, I don't know if anybody else noticed, and this might, maybe this signals that she's not going to be back. Everybody's makeup on the reunion show is always flawless, right? They're all backstage getting their hair and makeup done. So I don't know if they didn't do Dana's makeup or she got somebody else to do it, but it was horrendous. So maybe they're just not giving her enough budget for the makeup, but it was horrible. But just, she's awkward. She's funny. I'd like to see her back. I like that she admits that she's tacky. I mean, owning up to your S-H-I-T is fabulous. So hopefully, you know, maybe she will be popping back next season.
I'd love to say I think she were popping back next season, but Jackie, like you said, Andy kind of wrote her off. Aww. I was surprised she was even in the reunion at all, and she was only in it for like 5 minutes, and she wasn't even the like funny Dana that we would have expected. To me, the funniest segment of last night was the house husbands coming in, which, first of all, I do have to say I'm really sad because, Jackie, you know the number of times I brought up how in the reunion special from season one, my favorite part was the montage of all the, like, sexual things that Lisa has said. They didn't do that this season. You know, so I was waiting for that, but I love the house husbands segment. I love when they bring them in. I loved the tribute to Mauricio. I mean, Mauricio and Paul, are they? I mean, they are everyone's favorite. Paul is the seventh house husband. Paul is hilarious. And Mauricio, I love how Kyle was like, I thought I married this nice Jewish boy and now he's this hot Latin lover. But I find it hard that for her not to have understood that, like, this was going to happen. I mean, he gets nude pictures emailed to him constantly. And ugh, gotta love Mauricio, right? You gotta love Mauricio. He's so suave, and however suave Mauricio is, Paul is like the opposite of that, and I love their little duo there. I just, you know, I know that Kyle's gonna be back, and I know that Adrian's gonna be back, which is good, because I want Mauricio back, and I want Paul back.
Absolutely. I mean, Mari, I know you've been looking forward to that segment, and you would think with Lisa, and you would think with three parts of a reunion that you'd get it, but you know what? At least we got this hilarious montage between Paul and Mauricio. I mean, so funny. I loved Kyle's face when Mauricio's butt was showing, because she looked genuinely shocked over that, and then her comment, you're totally right, was hilarious about him turning into the hot Latin lover, but it's all lighthearted, and I love it, and I do agree that all four of them, the two couples, I really hope that they'll be back, and I do agree that they will be back. Certainly just so hysterical. I thought if you were going to lose your Lisa montage, at least this was a good replacement. And I also liked how Ken was getting so red over everything, and Lisa kept calling him out, and it was so cute.
I just think that these are probably the best husbands of all the shows. These three gentlemen are so unique and nice. And even Ken, when he was saying, you know, in his wild days that he would basically have any woman, even that was okay because he did it in his fabulous British way. Mauricio, of course, is just, I mean, I need a moment actually to catch my breath because he's so fabulous. And I have to say, coming from my tribe, the Jews, that we do not have that many Latin lovers in the category. So I will take this one and I will multiply it 50,000 times, plaster it on my walls, and look at it over and over again. My husband's not listening right now. That's my sidebar.
I have to say about Mauricio, too, this is like all Roby fans love him. I mean, I have to share this little story because his and Kyle's kids go to my elementary school, and one of my best friends, her mom works at the elementary school here and there, and she said that she was like leading some group meeting for parents. The kids were going on some sort of field trip or something like that, and she said that Mauricio walked in the room and she was like struggling to continue her talk and was like, this is like a 50-year-old woman, and she was so starstruck and so like couldn't believe it because she loves Mauricio that she like almost said something to him at the end, and she like could not talk because Mauricio had walked into the room. So that's how much women love Mauricio. And you know, and I love Ken too. Yeah, you mentioned Ken. I love that Brandy was like Andy was like, what do you find attractive about Ken? And she was like, I find everything attractive about him. And I love that they were light about it. It's like, I don't know what kind of stick is up Adrian's ass, but you know how Adrian is getting offended by everything. Lisa didn't get offended. Lisa was like, oh, Brandy constantly hits on my husband. But you know, they were all doing it in a lighthearted, fun way. And so by far the house husbands to me was the best segment. Would you ladies agree?
It was totally such a good relief.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay, should we get into Kim now? Kim is like, For I know. For however fun and lighthearted the house husbands were and you know, the Dana coming in. We'll get into Kim. There's one thing I have to say, and this is going to come up throughout the entire conversation about Kim and all the topics that were brought up. I think that this was the worst decision ever on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, or for that matter, any of the Real Housewives franchises, to have someone so fresh out of rehab come for a sit-down interview with Andy. Honestly. And then when I saw it, I knew this was a bad idea, because when I saw their previews, I thought, okay, that's a pretty poor choice to have a woman who's already struggling, who is an alcoholic, who just is fresh out of rehab. Like, she has so many issues to deal with, to tackle, and to, like, tackle rehab and addiction successfully, that to come in and talk to Andy and have to deal with all this and seeing it and all the topics and everything, I just thought was terrible. So we'll get into all of it. I want to talk about the one that to me was most egregious, and I literally in my notes wrote, shame on you, Andy Cohen. Shame on you. I love Andy Cohen. I think he's great. But this was such a poor choice. And what I'm talking about is when he had her watch back her clips from the night of the sewer episode. She had just said, I did not watch the season. I stopped watching the season in the beginning because I started to see my behavior in a way that I didn't want to watch myself. I was embarrassed. I was humiliated. And I didn't like watching myself. And he says, did you watch the sewer episode? She says, no. He says, can I show you the clips? And she hesitatingly is like, sure. And then she sees that the scene that was the worst, which is of her in the limo with her strap off and going through the trash. And she just says, stop it. Stop it. I can't watch it anymore. And I thought to myself, you are ruining this woman. She's going to go home from this taping and she's going to be, she said, in the beginning, I drank out of guilt. I drank out of shame because of what I did. And I could not stand to watch myself. So it was a vicious cycle. I drank. I acted terribly. I forgot about it. I saw it and I drank again because I was so guilty and so embarrassed. And now you're forcing her to watch these clips of herself at her lowest moment ever. I thought it was just in such poor and bad taste, for however poor taste everyone thought that they even aired the season at all because of Russell. And I know there was debate over this. To me, there is no debate over how poor taste it was to make a struggling, recovering alcoholic fresh out of rehab watch herself in her lowest moments like that. He's not her therapist. This is not in rehab. This is not some like comforting environment. This is on camera, on television. I feel like she was pressured into watching clips of herself, and I thought it was absolutely disgusting. So that's my rant on that. Jackie, Pamela, just on that section, just making her watch back those clips, what did you think of that?
You know, Mari, I'm so glad you are saying this, because I really wasn't sure if it was just me. I'm wondering if I'm becoming too much of a critic of all this, but I think I'm just swirled up in this crazy world that was this season, from Taylor to Kim. What I will say about the difference, just quickly, between Taylor and Kim is I feel like I actually can see that Kim is genuinely has a problem and is trying to fix it. And I don't feel like there's mirrors the way I feel like there is with Taylor and everything going on with Taylor. So I can actually relate to Kim, feel more bad for her than I would for a Taylor. And I totally agree that as I was watching this, number one, I felt like it did not fit well with the theme of the show and the reunion, just as I felt the wedding didn't fit well with the finale. Like, this to me should not have been part of the reunion. I think it took away from it rather than added to it. And definitely the perfect example of that is something like that, where she was pressured into watching the clips. I totally agree. I felt like it was really, perhaps, like you said, even worse than all the Taylor stuff in a way. And I have more of a softness towards Kim, and I don't know if that was why, but I'm so glad to hear you saying that as well, and that it wasn't just me, like, thinking this all along as this whole part was airing. It was almost like, why didn't they just stop and do a part two and leave this out? That's what I was thinking, and absolutely about the clips. The utmost, I mean, besides getting the sisters together, which I know we'll talk about, it was just totally unnecessary and inappropriate.
I definitely agree with both you ladies that having Andy Cohen even suggest, would you like to watch these clips, it should never have even been on his agenda or hosting list, right? That shouldn't have even been an option. And I think everybody will agree with that. I mean, watching her watch the segment and then her say, no, that's enough, it was just too much for me to bear. I just was so disturbed by it. However, I do disagree with you ladies in that she whether or not she should have done this or not, because I feel that in coming on and publicly admitting what people have already privately been saying, she's taking ownership of the problem, number one. And number two, she's, as a celebrity, and by far, you know, before the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, she was definitely the biggest celebrity of them all. So she has a huge platform, and with the platform, she has a responsibility to say, you know, yes, I am an alcoholic. And so she's using this, I think, in what I think is a positive way, because somebody else could be sitting on the other end of the TV screen and say, you know what, wow, you know, here's somebody who's doing this recovery publicly. I might have a problem too. I can do it privately. If she can do it, I can do it.
But Pamela, what if she's not ready for it, which I don't think she's ready for it. Isn't it even worse to admit she's an alcoholic than fall into it again because this segment could have, like, brought her to drink again because she, you know, is feeling all these emotions of guilt and shame, and then the person watching at home says, oh, she falls into it yet again. I know that she has, like, a duty to her fans, but I just don't think she was ready. She was fresh out of rehab, and I don't think she's ready. They could have done this segment in 6 months, and I think that would have been better. I think they rushed the segment, just like they rushed the season with Russell. They rushed this segment. Yes, I do think she needed to address her problems this season, and she owes that to her fans, and it's a healthy and wise way to use her platform. I think for her, it was too soon, and we saw it. Yes, she's gaining her confidence. Yes, she's able to admit she's an alcoholic. Great things. But I just think it was too soon for her. It was too soon. So, and that was just the worst of it all. I mean, fine, if she was all right with talking about all these things and she could handle it, that was surely a fireball that she could not have predicted of having Andy pressure her into watching herself.
Would you have been happier, for example, if more time went on?
Let's say she didn't
do this right now. Let's say it just happened 6 months from now. So sort of we saw that, oh, wow, you know, she really is holding on to her sobriety. That would have been better.
Yeah, that would have been better for her to say, you know what, I've been sober 6 months now, and I'm doing great. Not like, oh, I'm fresh out of rehab, and, you know, I learned a lot of things about myself. And you could tell that she wasn't ready for these things. You could tell she wasn't ready, and I just think it was detrimental to her recovery. I really think it was detrimental to her recovery, and I think that we were watching something purely out of entertainment's sake and for ratings' sake than for, like, the sake of her own health. And I don't like when that happens.
That being said, though, Mari, I don't think on her end, though, I don't feel that she, like a Taylor, had the agenda. I feel it was Bravo's end.
Yeah. No, I think that Bravo took advantage of it and was like, okay, you know, for ratings, for entertainment, we're going to do a part three of the reunion, which they never do. They only do part one and part two. And we're going to do a part three, and we're going to have a sit down with Kim, and they're going to rush it. And I feel like they pressured Kim into the sit down, and they pressured her into doing things she didn't want to do and tackling subjects she didn't want to tackle. And I thought it was in really poor taste. And I hope to God that she is all right now, and that interview with Andy didn't get her to drink again. But I wouldn't be surprised if that interview with Andy did get her to drink again, because that was a lot of shit that she had to deal with that I don't think she was ready to deal with.
Yeah, absolutely. I think more than anything, I really am rooting for her to get on track. And I really actually like Kim, and I think she just became such a mess. And I really am rooting for her, and I really genuinely agree that I worry that this was detrimental to her getting better, because I would like to see her get better. I don't think the show would be good for her, but I would still like to see Kim on the show if she could handle it, which I don't know that she can. But see somebody over Taylor that I wish could get it together, and that I wish could handle all of this and come back. But that, at this point, was probably not a smart decision.
And now I want to get both of your opinion on on Kim and her honesty, because we were just talking about Taylor and whether she was honest or not in what she was saying and all the allegations she was making. I thought that Kim was very, very honest. She said, I'm an alcoholic. She said, you know, the day after Thanksgiving that her kids approached her, but she didn't go kicking and screaming. She said, all right, because her kids had cut her off at that point. They weren't talking to her. They weren't seeing her. And I thought that she was very honest to herself and to us. The only thing I wasn't so sure about is she says, I'm an alcoholic, and I wrote in big caps on my notes, but what about the pills? Because, you know, we talked all season long about how she was addicted to prescription pills, in our opinion, and she didn't so much talk about that. Andy was the one who pressed that, and I am glad he asked that question just for, like, a viewer's sake. If we're already into it, we want to know the truth. And he said, what about what you're on? And she kind of explained that she was on anti-anxiety and panic disorder medication, and when you drink with it, it makes it even worse. And so I do agree with that. I don't know if she was just an alcoholic, but maybe it was a matter of mixing the pills with the alcohol. But in general, I thought that she was very honest. She said, you could see in the beginning of the season, I wasn't drinking. And she wasn't. We saw her in the beginning of the season, she refused the drinks. And then she said, slowly, I lost my confidence, and I started drinking again. So maybe she shouldn't have even been on season two at all. Maybe season two was what drove her back into it. Because it seems like going into season two and going into taping season two, she was all right. And then she lost her way. But what did you guys just think about her discussion of it all and her version of what happened? Jackie?
I think it's hard to decipher. When you have a problem like that, it's hard to decipher, you know, what's the reality, what's not. I do think her heart's in the right, like, I do think her heart's in the right place. I think I can believe her when she says she looks at her and on camera herself and she says, that's not me, that's some other woman, I feel bad for her, or, you know, her comments like that. I do believe she thinks that, but when you have a disease like that, it's very hard to for different reasons, but similarly with Taylor, it's very hard to know what's true, what's not true. I do believe, though, that she, at that moment in that interview, I do believe that she really believed herself that she was getting to a good place. That maybe the first two times didn't work because she wasn't in the place, and whether she can find that place and really stay in it is the question.
I definitely, to me, the whole interview with Kim felt so real and raw, and I like when she was saying, you know, at least I'm trying, in reference to, you know, having been in rehab two times before. She said, you know what, now feels right to me. But at least I'm trying. So she's not saying, she never, you know, makes a flat statement and says, well, I'm going to be sober forever, right? She doesn't say anything about it. She said, you know what, at least I'm trying. I have acknowledged that I have a problem. I'm trying to make it better. I'm working with my family. And we'll see. I mean, it'll be interesting to see whether she comes back or not. As a viewer, I want to see her because I, you know, obviously she's the underdog. We always root for that. And we want to see her get better. We want to see her get well. As a sister with a sister, I would maybe want her to, you know, stay with her family, work on her relationship with her kids, and work on herself ultimately.
I totally agree with you, Pamela. As a viewer, I like her, and I want to root for her, and I think she's entertaining, and I want to see her back. But as, like, just someone concerned for someone who clearly has a problem, I don't think that season three would be the best thing for her. I just don't. Like, I think that season two drove her to drink, and then she said it was a vicious cycle. She would drink, and then she'd feel guilty and ashamed of being caught on camera drinking in this embarrassing behavior, and then she'd drink all over again. So I want to see her back because I like her. And even in this interview, she was funny. Like, she had a couple of funny moments, and she was like, what's with you in the back of limos? And, like, you know, she starts joking here and there, and I see little specks of that light because, like, I think regardless of the alcoholism and regardless of the pills and everything, I think deep down she is actually a funny person. And, like, so some of that funniness we see, I don't think it was just because she's crazy or the addiction problem. I think she's a funny person, and I like seeing that part of her, and she's entertaining. I just don't know if it's the best idea to have her back on the show. But Jackie, you mentioned bringing Kyle in, and I think you're going to agree with me here just because of what you alluded to. I don't think that bringing Kyle in was a good idea for Kim's recovery either. Kyle and Kim already had their family day in rehab, and they mentioned it, and they mentioned how they discussed how Kyle would get into this vicious cycle of, you know, Kim would do something crazy while she was drunk and Kyle would get angry and then Kim would forget about it the next day, but Kyle would still be angry and Kim wouldn't understand why she's angry at her. And it was that vicious cycle. And I understand that. This is not family day. This is not rehab. This is an interview with Andy Cohen to be broadcast to millions of people. And I just don't think that bringing Kyle in and having Kyle and Kim talk out their issues on camera was a good idea. Because at first it started all right. You could see how, you know, Kyle was so proud of Kim for admitting that she was an alcoholic and going so willingly. And that's why she thinks it's going to be a difference this time. This is her third trip to rehab, but she thinks it's going to work. And they end on a nice note, you know, talking about how, you know, when I hugged my sister, I felt it was her finally, and I miss my sister, and I love her saying that I'm going to be your big sister again. And, you know, those moments were nice, but all the in-between, I just kept writing, whoa, there's still tension, still tension, still tension. And I don't think that that was good for Kim or good for Kyle, but really, I don't think that was good for Kim. I mean, you hear them first just talk about their issues and Kim says to Kyle, you think that you need to be mom to my kids. And you could see, ooh, there's tension there. And then when they're talking about Hawaii, there's still tension. And, you know, Kim apologizes. She said, you know, all right, I'm sorry I wasn't there. I'm sorry. And then even and Kyle has to clarify. She's like, just making sure you understand I wanted you there. And she's like, yeah, I got it. And it's like, there's still tension there. And then there's still tension when Kyle's explaining this cycle of being angry and she says, you know, I'm here to love you and support you. I'm not here to argue. And then she's like, but you put me through a lot when when there's someone who's sick in the family or has an addiction, it puts them through a lot. You put me through a lot. And then Kim says, well, you put me through a lot too. And it's like, oh God, there's still a lot of tension between these two sisters. They have a lot of issues. And that's all right if they're in a therapy or a counseling session talking about these issues, but not with Andy so soon after she's out of rehab. I just thought that was really, really bad for Kim's recovery. Jackie, I think you agree with me.
I do. You know what this felt like in a completely opposite way, but for the finale, felt like I was sitting there watching someone's wedding and it felt weird, is the same way this last reunion portion felt weird in that I felt like I was watching someone's rehab and I didn't want that for the reunion.
And watching someone's rehab with Andy Cohen at the helm, not like a Dr. Drew or a licensed doctor.
I know, right.
Ladies, so the
even
only
more so why it felt so strange. And so having the sisters come together was even worse, I think, because it was like beating this dead horse of trying to get the sister drama going. I don't think it was good for Kim. I don't like seeing them get so emotional with each other so often. It's like, I get it. We've gotten this before. I'm much more for the freshness of the Brandy and the Dana and the new drama. And, you know, I'm kind of done with this Kim, Kyle. We get they have issues. And I always say as a reality star, you do have to open yourself up. But I actually do agree here. I would like them to close up this Kim and Kyle thing for a while and let Kim get better and focus on other more interesting things. And I definitely don't think it was good for Kim, and I don't think it was great for viewers. I don't think it was a great choice for, you know, on Bravo's end.
As a viewer, I honestly wanted to cry a few times. It was so emotional, and there was so much exposed in that sort of sisterly relationship. I agree with you ladies 100% that once Kyle came out, it just felt like a full-on, therapy session. I wrote in my notes, Andy the Shrink? ? It's not the way you want to see Andy Cohen either, right? You want to see him in a lighthearted, in a, you know, with five or six or seven ladies around him in fabulous dresses and ridiculous diamond heels, right? You don't want to see him playing the role of the shrink. So I didn't care for this whole bit with Kyle. I mean, it was nice to see that they had these loving moments and that they did, in fact, end holding hands and they exchanged really nice words. But I'm hoping that season three, we go back to the fabulous, crazy, the fashion and what we all love from Beverly Hills, which is, hello, the real crazy money.
No, that's right. True. Yeah. I do like that they ended on a positive note. And she said, you know, I'm happy to be big. be your big sister again. And she said, I just really want this to work. I'm going to work hard on this every single day. And for her fans and for people going through addiction who are looking up to her as a role model, I hope to God that she does it. I want to get your final thoughts on Kim and the reunion before we go to a commercial break, because we got some good news and gossip, and we'll do a special segment of predictions just on what we think, who's coming back for season three, what's going to happen. But Jackie, final thoughts on Kim and reunion three?
I'm really rooting for Kim. I really am soft on Kim, like, compared to Taylor. She's someone I really feel bad for. I feel she's struggling. I do believe that she's trying. It's a very difficult disease. It is a disease. And I don't know if the show is the right place for her, but I do like her. And if I were to, you know, I want her to do what's best for her, but I would like to see Kim come back if she could. I like Kim. I don't know that she can, but I do like her. And if there's anybody who I want to step back from the show for a while, it's Taylor.
I'm on Team Kim. Get me a T-shirt. I'm ready. I'm sure Kitson is all over it. But I would love to see Kim on a, you know, doing some sort of, once she first fully solidifies herself, I would love to see her use her platform, maybe go on a few tours, speak to people, and just kind of put another face to a very serious problem.
Okay, well, I was going to talk about it in predictions. We'll talk about who's coming back. What I think would happen, what I would like to see, I don't know if this is going to happen, what I would like to see is, I don't think Kim should be a housewife next season because I don't think she's ready. I think that Kyle will be a housewife, so I think that Kim can come in that respect, like, just separately, but not have her own storyline, like, or be a featured housewife, because I don't think she's ready. I'd like to see her come back in here and there with Kyle. I'd like to see their other sister. I'd like to see Kathy come in, and that's Paris and Nikki's mom, and, you know, that would bring in a whole nother fun element. And I, you know, we've talked about this before. We think she'd do it because she had her own reality show with Paris that bombed. I'd like to see that sister relationship, and I don't know, give Kim a little break from the spotlight. But we'll get into all those predictions and to news and gossip when we come back from a quick commercial break.
After Buzz TV.
Hi, I was once like you. A lazy, angry loner whose only joy was watching TV and surfing the net. And, like you, after I'd see one of my favorite TV shows, I'd be so excited and have so many questions that I'd actually have to talk to my douchebag coworkers about it at the water cooler. Then I discovered AfterBuzzTV.com. AfterBuzzTV produces after-show webcasts and podcasts for TV series of all kinds, like post-game wrap-up shows for all your favorite TV shows. AfterBuzzTV hosts are industry insiders who break down episodes of shows, take calls from fans, and interview cast and crew from each series, with over 60 different after-shows, from Boardwalk Empire to American Idol to Vampire Diaries to Real Housewives and more. Now, after a night of TV, I can ignore my stupid coworkers, who I hate, and go straight to my desk and watch or listen to all my favorite AfterBuzz TV after shows and have all the TV fan interaction I need. Thank you, AfterBuzz TV.
AfterBuzz TV. What do you want to buzz about? AfterBuzz TV News.
All right, so first up, we have Lisa Vanderpump, and I'm glad that she's talking about this publicly and that she's defending herself. Do you guys remember in part one when Adrian and the wives accused Lisa of selling stories to the tabloids, and we thought, okay, this is totally ridiculous. Like, what would Lisa have to gain by this? So Lisa's addressing the rumors, and I'm glad she did. She said, look, I've had 26 restaurants and nightclubs. One called Zoo Bar was one of the most avant-garde nightclubs in London. I've seen everything. I've seen people who are gay pretending to be straight, straight pretending to be gay, sleeping with each other's wives. I say nothing. I see a lot, say little, and I write nothing. I'd be a billionaire if I could sell stories. So there you go. There you have it. And I totally believe her. I think it was wrong of the housewives to ever accuse her in the first place, and I'm glad she stuck up for herself. So Jackie and Pamela, what do you think about her? I believe her. Do you guys?
Oh, absolutely. This was just ridiculous to begin with, I think. And I don't even think she needs to entertain it, but I, even though she did, I'm glad, because I definitely believe her.
I believe her. I think it's hysterical that she would sell stories. I mean, really, she needs the extra change? I don't think so. So I'm glad that, I think you have to defend yourself, otherwise somebody's going to tell your story for you. So it's good that she went out there and she said that.
Yeah, and Kyle had an interview, and she talks about her life when she started on Little House of the Prairie, and she talks about how her mom always instilled in her these values that she continues today. She says, it was always very important to my mom that we were down to earth. She made us clean our own rooms and wash our own cars. That's how I was raised, and that's how I want my daughters to be raised. I don't want someone else driving my children to school. I want to be there with them in the car having those conversations. I think she's a great mom, and I want to see her back on season 3, and I know she will be. She's just one of those mainstays. Like, she's like just head honcho of the franchise, and I think that she'll be back.
Absolutely. I think so too. Totally. And I think that she should be.
Yeah.
I want to see those beautiful locks again.
And now we'll get into more of who we want back, who we don't want back. But before that, we mentioned Taylor. So her book did come out last week. So she's been doing interviews here, interviews there, interviews everywhere. The problem I have with it, in one of the interviews I saw on Access Hollywood Live, she starts talking about her daughter and how her daughter... She started crying and choking up, saying her daughter realized a lot more of this abuse than she ever realized. She saw a lot more of the abuse than Taylor ever realized. She tried to shield her from the abuse, and she's so young, she thought that she wouldn't have picked up on it, but she did. And she says that she'll say to Kennedy every single day, I miss Daddy, don't you miss your daddy? What a good guy your daddy was, whatever. That's stand up fine. What I have a problem with is she said that one time Kennedy said back to her, but how could you miss someone that was so bad to you? And even if Kennedy did say that, why say it on camera? Why tell the public that? I mean, why let Russell's family know that Kennedy's saying that? I mean, I just thought that was such a low move for her to talk about. And Taylor's already had huge issues with Russell's family. Russell's sister's coming out saying that Taylor's making up everything and that none of this is true. And then Taylor shoots back, well, Russell's sister was into drugs and was in and out of rehab. And Russell's sister admits, yes, I was out of rehab, but, you know, I'm clean and sober. She's making up stories. Whatever the truth is, I don't care. I just think that for Russell's sake and for Kennedy's sake, I just don't think it's appropriate for her to be doing all these interviews or saying all these things. Fine, you wrote the book, but don't drag Kennedy into it. And I don't know. What do you guys think about that, Jackie?
Well, I have a feeling you guys know my opinion by now, but it doesn't stop for me with Taylor. She just continues to do inappropriate things. And the one thing I want to clarify, if I haven't clarified this yet, as far as my opinion on Taylor, the one thing I'll say is I've seen double-sided men in this world. It hit very close to home with my family, actually, where men like Russell's profile would do things you would never believe. So I'm not necessarily questioning what Russell did. I have a feeling he had dark sides that we don't even, like, we are hearing about, but we wouldn't even venture to know about. I don't doubt that necessarily. I don't think she's necessarily making things up, but I don't trust her, number one, and I don't trust that her judgment to talk about it. And that's my biggest issue with Taylor. She might be exaggerating at points, but it's her choice to talk about it that bothers me so much.
I just want to put her story to sleep.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Take a note from Kim Kardashian and stay out of the spotlight for a while. Okay, but let's get into some predictions, just in general, who's going to be back for season 3. I read that in Us Magazine, they're reporting. I'll wait a second for our predictions music.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
All right. I predict that Kim is not coming back, and here is a major reason why. Us Weekly is reporting that Kim's children want her to stay away from the camera. It says, quote, they're begging her not to sign on for a third season of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills since it's been so humiliating for them. Regardless of her kids and it being humiliating for them, I just don't think it's right for her, and I really would be surprised if she came back. So that's my prediction on Kim. I want to hear your predictions. Let me just round this up. I also read in Us Magazine that they're talking about they're trying to get Denise Richards to sign on, which I think would be amazing and totally interesting. I mean, talk about Hollywood exes. Find Camille, find Brandy. Denise is like the queen of Hollywood exes because of Charlie Sheen. And, you know, she's a star in her own right, and she has three daughters, one adopted. I think it would be such an interesting storyline. And she already had her own reality show on E! And it didn't even do that well. I think it was, I don't even remember what it was called. I think that she would be so fantastic to watch. Throw her into the mix of the drama. Oh my God, would it be good. I just wonder if she's going to do it. Because yes, she did have her own reality show, but that was more about her. And so to throw her into a mix of Real Housewives, I don't know if she's going to sign on. I don't know if Charlie's going to let her sign on. I think it would be absolutely amazing. And then finally, we're still hearing this talk about Sly Stallone's wife and her being hesitant to sign on. I think an even bigger get than her would be Denise Richards. So I'm really hoping the Denise Richards thing is true. So Jackie, Pamela, what do you guys think in terms of season three and who you want, who you think's going to be back, all that?
Well, I absolutely, the number one person that I don't want to see back, I fear will be back, and that's Taylor. I would like to see a better version of Kim come back. I have a feeling, though, that you're right, Mari. I do agree she won't, even though I like her, and I'm rooting for her. I think it's the smarter choice. And then I, as sad as it is, I don't think Dana has a chance. I think Brandy will be back.
Yeah.
I think we are due for a new housewife. I would love Kathy Hilton to join. And as well, I would love to see it be Denise Richards. I think Kathy Hilton and Denise Richards, I'm throwing out the Kathy Hilton with you, Mari, but I have heard that Denise Richards is a name coming up. Would love to see it.
Do you and think she's going to do it, though?
I don't know. It's a long shot, but I would like to see it, that's for sure.
Because is her career so C-list? I'm sorry to cut you off. Is Denise Richards' career so C-list, though, that she has to do Real Housewives of Beverly Hills? Like, she was just on 30 Rock.
Sorry. I mean, she hasn't really done any major pieces in quite some time. She hasn't been a Bond girl in quite some time.
Yeah.
But
so why not?
And I mean, she's still like hot and not necessarily, I don't want to say young, but like she's still like hot and I feel like more hot actress, even though she's not, doesn't have anything going on. I feel like she might, to put herself in a Real Housewives category, I think she should. I think she could. I don't know if she sees it that way. Like, I don't know if she'll think it's the right move for her, although I think it would be great to see someone like that kind of like,
I think it would be a great boost. It could be a very positive. I mean, it is Bravo. They are one of the best networks if you're going to do a reality show. So I would think about it. I think having Denise there would be great. I have been pushing for Kathy Hilton to be on the show since the beginning of this season, so that would be amazing. Can we just put out all those feelers? I think it's, you know, I don't know if she's going to go down that route again because she had such a horrible experience last time, but this is definitely a step up from the show she had with Paris. So,
right.
Kathy and Denise, that would be amazing.
Or what if they brought in Brooke Mueller? That would be crazy. That would be like Kim's storyline times 10.
I could see a Brooke or a Kathy. Like, I can see them before I could see Denise Richards, but I would love it and welcome it. And just one little last bit of lack of scoop for Jennifer Stallone, Sly Stallone's wife. Unfortunately, the people who would know, like, who would hear a buzz in my family that do know her and run in the same circles have not heard anything. So I can confirm that they have not heard anything, but that's about it. That doesn't mean it's not happening, but it's not a great sign towards towards Sly Stallone's wife joining in.
Yeah, if she hasn't done it the last two seasons, if she hasn't been convinced and they've been trying, I highly doubt that she would be convinced now after this train wreck of a season. I mean, it was a great train wreck, but yeah.
Right.
All right, well, Jackie, Pamela, Jessica couldn't be here to host. Jesse, we had in the beginning. Hopefully, we'll have him back next season. Anyways, thank you all so much. This was such a wonderful season. I loved it so much. It was a train wreck of a season, but entertaining till the last drop. So, goodbye. Real Housewives of New York starts in March. That's a upside, or starts in April. I don't know when Real Housewives of Beverly Hills will be back, but when it is, you'll be sure that Jackie, Pamela, and I will be there. So, thank you so much.
Thank you.
From producers Kevin Undergaro and Phil Svitek, engineer DJ Jesse Janity, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. If you have questions or comments, be sure to buzz us at info@AfterBuzzTV.com. And you can find us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter by searching for AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.